From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. The Tuesday of a big game week. Auburn traveling to Norman, Oklahoma this Saturday for that 2:30. I guess it's actually a 2:40-something kickoff as the Tigers look to beat Oklahoma for the first time ever. Oklahoma 3-0 all time against Auburn. It'll be the first time that the Auburn Oklahoma series has been played in Norman. Last year was the first time that it was played on campus, as the two teams had met in a couple of Sugar Bowls, with Oklahoma winning both. So we'll continue talking about that. Auburn had an open session for the media this morning. We can talk a little about that. Sounds like. It appears, that is, that Auburn's going to have most everybody, if not everyone, available for this Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, they were being cautious with a lot of the names that you were watching closely to see if they're going to be able to go. But, I mean, from the sense I got, like, I mean, you're not seeing yellow jerseys. Amaris, like Coach said yesterday, probably the biggest concern.
But was practicing?
Yes, today? was practicing, but I think, I mean, and there were a couple of guys held out of some of the contact stuff, which is understandable.
Champ
and Malcolm, and maybe somebody else too, but there was
Damari.
Damari, Champ, Malcolm, and I want to say someone else too, but those were the most prominent ones. But I think Auburn feels. It's not health that's the big question going into the Oklahoma game, right? There are other questions on this team.
Can Auburn tighten things up defensively? Can they loosen things up maybe offensively?
Can a better defense force Auburn to show some things they haven't done so far, or is this all there is, in which case a better defense might be able to have more success than any defense Auburn has seen so far this season? And then offensively, yeah, you're right. I mean, as far defensively with Auburn's pass defense, I mean, they've had a couple of games while victorious, spotty moments.
Auburn has had trouble getting teams off the field on third down, and they have given up some big plays.
Yeah. Especially through the air.
Third and long has been a concern. So those things, yes.
And they're experimenting. And based on the fact that they're moving guys around at safety and nickel and taking looks at a lot of their options there compared to what they normally do at corner, it would make sense that those are the spots that they're still sort of searching for answers. And we'll see how it goes when Auburn faces John Mateer. And what Coach Freeze said was a really good group of receivers and tight ends and running backs around John Mateer at Oklahoma.
All right, we'll talk about that, and we'll go ahead and we'll talk about those things and more right now as we head to the Drive Hotline. Welcome in our regular Tuesday guest right here off the top of the show, and that is the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Bill, Dan, Drew. Hope everyone's having a good day. Getting ready for a huge SEC opener in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah,
my first trip. Never been.
Well, I mean, there haven't been any contests there. Auburn and Oklahoma have never played there. Last year was the first time they'd ever played on campus.
I
think a lot of folks excited about this possibility.
Men's basketball and baseball didn't play in Norman either, as coincidence would have it. So you're probably going to make quite a few trips Oklahoma's coming here in baseball, but men's basketball making the return trip to Norman as well. So I've heard really good things about the town, Andy, and I hope you enjoy it as much as you and the gang can.
Well, it for me, it's a little bit personal because I've got a brother that lives in Norman. Hmm. So this will be an opportunity to spend some time with family Friday evening at dinner.
Oh, and that's
then,
great.
Then get ready to beat his team on Saturday.
So you've never visited him there, though?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, but look, it'll be interesting to see what kind of – I mean, this one, it's going to be tough. It's got to be tougher for Auburn fans to be able to be as prominent as they have been, you know, say at Baylor or in a lot of different venues because it's the first time Auburn's ever come to Oklahoma.
Well, and listen, it's the best team that Auburn has played this season in just about every regard. Offensively, certainly defensively, it's the best team that Auburn has faced. It's probably the most balanced offense that Auburn has faced out of its first four ball games is this Oklahoma team. I mean, this is a team that's ranked number 11 in the country in AP, 12 in the coaches' poll. It's 3-0. It has a big win at home against Michigan on the season, and by all indications, this is a really, really good football team that Auburn gets set to face on Saturday. So I'm looking forward to this matchup. I'm looking forward to seeing how this Auburn team responds to this ball game and to this challenge Saturday afternoon.
Auburn, of course, 3-0 as well. And Andy, a lot of folks concerned after the final last week being 31-15. But I've asked a couple of people. Look, it was 28-9. At the half. If that ball game ends up 56-18, I asked him, would you be concerned if, you know, if Auburn had won that ball game 45-15? And they said, no, but that's the big concern, I think, from a lot of people is the offense has been, they've been solid. Well, that's a word that that Hugh Freeze uses a lot. But it has been, it has been consistent, but it really hasn't been explosive, and I think that's something that that everyone is hoping to see, you know, some more of.
Here's the thing about Saturday that this struck me, and I'm not trying to compare South Alabama to a Vanderbilt or New Mexico State from a couple years ago, or even Cal last year, Bill. But the common denominator in all three of those games in the last couple years. New Mexico State 2 years ago, both Cal and Vanderbilt last year. And I realized that New Mexico State and Vandy had the same quarterback, was time of possession. And the opponent just didn't give Auburn many opportunities to do anything offensively. I thought that's what South Alabama tried to do against Auburn on Saturday. But Auburn matched South Alabama in the time of possession on Saturday. You look at a couple of those drives for Auburn, they're among the longest drives that Auburn's had, period. And Auburn won a game against a team where, and I'm not saying that in years past South Alabama would have beaten Auburn, but I think it would have given Auburn some heartburn in that game just because it was able to grind it out. Well, Auburn did the same thing. And really, the last couple of years, we've not seen Auburn either do that or have the ability to do that. I do think this. I think that Hugh Freeze has shown a great deal of patience and maturity as a head coach. He told us last night on Tiger Talk, 10 years ago, there is no way Auburn plays that game like did last week because he is still quick. Everything's quick. It's all tempo. He's taking shots. And I'm not saying Auburn would have lost the game had it done that last week, but I thought Auburn won that game in a different manner last week than it has won games in the past. All right, did Auburn score as many? Did Auburn cover? No. Didn't come close to covering in that ballgame. But, okay, Auburn's 3-0. Its run game has been really good. Its quarterback has not turned the ball over. And Auburn now gets ready for Southeastern Conference play against a really good football team. So I don't really echo the incredible concern that some folks have just because Auburn didn't go out and blow away South Alabama in last week's ballgame. I don't agree with that. I'm not saying that Auburn was spectacular, and there are concerns for Auburn from a defensive standpoint in two of its three wins this season. So I'm not saying that Auburn has been perfect, far from it. I'm not quite as concerned about this Auburn team as a result of that South Alabama game as some folks are.
To me, Andy, the defensive concerns are a little tougher to explain away, aside from the fact that Baylor, and for that matter South Alabama, might be pretty good on offense. But I look at what Auburn's done offensively, and I would point out that so much of what Auburn did against Baylor was set up through the quarterback run, and you haven't seen the offense use that very much these last couple of weeks. I think Auburn's been fighting without one of their best punches on offense the last couple of weeks in an attempt to you know, get work out some other things. But I would assume if you're saving Jackson Arnold's ability to run for a game or a series of games, you know, it's you break out the good stuff this weekend. You let her rip, and I'm fascinated to see how Auburn, especially with Jackson Arnold, runs the football in Norman against this Oklahoma defense.
Well, this is a very good defense that Auburn faces, and especially up front. I mean, they're really, really good and big and physical and athletic, and they're everything up front that Auburn faces this week. And we have not seen a defensive front like this team this year against Auburn. But I'll say this, Dan, Auburn didn't have to run Jackson Arnold 20 times against Ball State in South Alabama. Against Ball State, Auburn was able to throw the football rather controlled, and he was 24 of 28 and was just, you know, very precise. Last week, a little bit more, but we did not have to see him run as much. But think about the three games that Auburn has had from its tailbacks so far this season. It was Demaryius and Jeremiah, along with Jackson at Baylor. And it's been Jeremiah basically ever since, because Demaryius's been out with the shoulder. So I'm glad that Auburn didn't have to run Jackson Arnold 16 to 20 times against Ball State and against South Alabama to win that game. We saw him, especially down in the red zone. And that boy, you know, there's two different things, I think, that should give Auburn folks some hope going into this ball game. Where a year ago, it was not that good. Auburn is really good right now in the red zone. It has scored every time it has been in the red zone, and that includes seven touchdowns, only two field goals. So it's not just three that Auburn's getting when it gets to the red zone.
Is the other one short yardage, Andy?
No, it's not. It's turnovers.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
A year ago, Auburn was dead last, and it wasn't even close in turnover margin. And I'm not saying Auburn is generating as many turnovers as it would like. It's not. But going into this game, Auburn is tied for fourth in turnover margin at plus two. That's and although that's not as good as you want, that's a massive improvement from a year ago. You look at September, guys, a year ago. Look at those losses in September. Three of those losses in those first five games at home. And you think about how important turnovers were, including the loss to Oklahoma, that Auburn won on everything in the ballgame except the final score. And think about how important turnovers were against Cal, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. All three of those games were huge when it came to turnovers. I mean, the pick six, obviously, that Auburn threw to Kip Lewis against Oklahoma, that turned that game around for the final time. The first half interceptions against Arkansas, the Cal game just in general, and the turnovers that Auburn had, those are two big improvements from a year ago. Now, listen, that was against Baylor, Ball State, and South Alabama. The competition ramps up dramatically starting Saturday. So does Auburn keep those trends going in the red zone, and as far as limiting turnovers and generating some turnovers, remains to be seen.
Yeah, so much of the talk of this game is going to be, and rightfully so, the quarterbacks. With Jackson Arnold returning to Oklahoma, where he was for a couple of years.
Wait, what? Jackson Arnold played at Oklahoma?
You had me thinking, did I say something completely wrong? But no, I mean,
it's going to come up, I think.
But John Mateer, who has gotten off to a really good start after an excellent year last year at Washington State, leading the SEC in passing. I mean, that's gonna be the focus, obviously.
Well, and it should. I mean, the storylines have written themselves from a quarterback standpoint for this game. This is finally the week that we talk about Jackson Arnold returning to Oklahoma. We knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. He's Hopefully he's dealing with it. Everyone has said the right things, including the folks in Norman.
Right.
About Jackson Arnold, including...
Yeah, there hadn't been any bulletin board material. No.
And John Materi yesterday, as a matter of fact, talked about playing against Jackson in high school and what he has done this year. I think some folks are trying to make more out of this than is there. Listen, he played on a team last year that was decimated in injuries, and that was one of the things that Brent Venables said today, talking about Jackson Arnold. It was almost a defense of the season that Jackson had a year ago. But Oklahoma is happy to have John Mateer.
Oh, yes.
I think Auburn's happy to have Jackson Arnold going into this ballgame. Both have played really well in their first games, their first three games of this season. And, it was interesting the perspective that Hugh Freeze gave on returning to a school at his press conference yesterday and on Tiger Talk last night on Wings 94.3. And he likened it to his return as Liberty's head coach when Liberty played at Ole Miss. And, I mean, think about that. Now, listen, that dynamic is magnified even more when Hugh Freeze took Liberty into Oxford. And he said, listen, the thing he learned from that was you make it about the team, not about yourself. And that's something that he has talked to Jackson Arnold about. This is about Auburn. Yes, the storyline is there. It's inevitable. You cannot deny it. But as much as you possibly can, make this game about Auburn. Make this game about the Auburn offense against a really good Oklahoma defense.
Yep, and I think it's wise that Jackson has just, pretty... just sort of politely declined to be talking this week. Better, better not to say anything than to say something.
Absolutely.
that you regret.
I'd love to hear him. I really would. I'll be honest. I'd have loved to have heard from Jackson. He talked about it briefly after the game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Said all the right things. You don't want to do anything to make it bulletin board material, and he hasn't done it, nor has Oklahoma to this point. So, get to Saturday, play the ball game. It's a huge stage for both of these teams that are trying to reestablish themselves. Both Oklahoma and Auburn are trying to reestablish themselves. Oklahoma has that big win at home against Michigan. Auburn has its win against Baylor. And then both teams have taken care of business since those times, and now it sets up a huge Southeastern Conference opener for both of these schools.
Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, with us here on the opening segments of the Tuesday Drive. Andy, can you stick with us through a break?
Absolutely.
All right, we will be right back. Stay tuned to the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive 67 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're joined by the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, as Auburn getting ready to head to Norman, Oklahoma for the SEC opener for these two schools. Auburn has a big win on the road against Baylor. Oklahoma has a win over Michigan. It's still so early, Andy. I mean, a lot of people try to, come to, conclusions as to how things are going to be at the end of the season. But, I mean, there's still so much left, yet to be learned, I think, about both of these teams and teams all across the country.
Yeah, and teams all across this league right now.
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's hard to say, hey, this is the clear favorite in the SEC right now. Some would say, yeah, I think LSU has taken a step forward, and it's hard to say that they're wrong. But Texas has stumbled. Alabama has stumbled. Georgia is unbeaten. That was a big win.
Oh, it was.
And a big comeback at Tennessee. Vanderbilt has been as impressive as anyone with back-to-back road wins. So, and then both of these teams are 3-0 going in to this weekend. And one of these teams will have their first loss after Saturday afternoon. So it's interesting. It's very interesting to in this league. And guys, Bill, I think you said it. I mean, is there a clear-cut favorite to the national championship right now out there at this point? I mean, we've seen some surprises. We've seen some teams take a tumble. We've seen some teams that have put themselves in contention for this right now. And so there's so much to be played in this season. And for Auburn and Oklahoma and most of the league, by the way, most of the league, it starts this weekend with Southeastern Conference play. Seven straight games for Auburn in the SEC. And these next four, mm-hmm. I've been saying three, but heck, let's look at four.
Oh, yeah, Missouri right looks pretty darn good here.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely it does. But these next three especially, all of these teams are unbeaten. All of these teams have big wins. With Auburn at Oklahoma this Saturday, at Texas A&M after its 41-40 win at Notre Dame last week, and Georgia is on the other side of that after an open date and is undefeated at this point. And that Missouri team with that huge comeback win against Kansas. So there is no chance to breathe for Auburn now in this schedule for the next seven games because it's all SEC. And you tell me where there's a team that you can sleep on right now in the SEC. And don't tell me it's Kentucky, because we know what Kentucky can do.
The sample size is probably too small to render anything absolute about most of these teams, although with some of them you probably suspect. I mean, like you said, big time win for Georgia, and there have been some going to Notre Dame looks like a nice win right now.
It does,
but it's early. Andy, we were talking right before we connected with you about some of the players who were held out or played very little on Saturday and what it could mean for Auburn to get Malcolm back, to get Eric Singleton back at full strength, even though he got hurt sort of late in the process. And I think especially Champ Anthony with what we've been talking about in the secondary.
Well, I had Jay Crawford to that too. Jay didn't play much after he went out in that ball game. I don't know how much Amaris Williams plays on Saturday. I know he's practicing, but I mean, according to the head coach, it was a
separated.
Separated shoulder that they were able to get back in. Does Auburn have Amaris? That gives more time, I think, to Jared Smith on Saturday. I think having Jay Crawford against this receiving core is huge for Auburn. I mean, Deion Burks is off to a great start. Isaiah Cetania, the transfer from Arkansas, has had a very good start. Guys, let me tell you another one, and a fascinating story to me about this Oklahoma team is tight end Jaron Kanick. He has the most receiving yards this season. He's 6'2", 233, 14 catches, 245 yards. Guys, he's a linebacker. He played 3 years at linebacker at Oklahoma.
You don't see linebackers convert to receiver types, no.
Well, and here's he was a linebacker and a quarterback in Hayes, Kansas, in high school. And for 3 years, he was a linebacker and a good one for Oklahoma. And they move him to tight end, and he has 245 yards on 14 catches. He's one of their leading receivers right now. That's a fascinating story. He is certainly a weapon for this Oklahoma team, and we've not even talked about the Oklahoma run game yet.
No,
because Torrey Blaylock is the SEC freshman of the week after his game last week at Temple, where he had 13 carries, 14 for 100 yards, and two touchdowns. And oh, by the way, Jade Knott. This will be the third straight year that Auburn has seen Jade Knott. Mm-hmm. Of course, the last 2 years it was with Cal, and a guy that has over 2,600 yards in his career. So this is a really good run game. And, of course, then you have the dynamic of John Mateer, who can throw it, he can run it, and he has that it factor, I think, at that quarterback spot for Oklahoma. So this is a really good ball club that Auburn faces on Saturday. It is a tall task for this Auburn ball club, but I think this Auburn team is certainly more suited for this game than it has been in quite some time.
That aspect of Mateer running the ball is something you really haven't seen this season against Auburn's defense. I mean, Ball
Auburn
State
has, Auburn hasn't had to face
Ball
that,
State's going to try to run the ball with the quarterback some, but that offense is, you know, it's the less said the better. Like the with Baylor, I think Baylor wanted to run the ball some at the quarterback position, but Sawyer was compromised. He was limping most of the second half, and they were trailing multiple scores. So it necessitated a pass first attack. South Alabama also down multiple scores pretty early, and you know, it was ball control, but I think it was ball control with the quarterback getting the ball out of his hands a lot. I really want to see how this defense, just like, you know, how does Auburn run the ball with Jackson and everyone else, I want to see how this defense for Auburn holds up against a quarterback trying to run the ball, especially one as dynamic as Mateer.
33 carries, 161 yards, and 4 touchdowns for Mateer. Now, he's been terrific as a passer. Almost 68% with 944 yards, 5 touchdowns. He has thrown 3 picks this season. But Jackson Arnold, you know, you just compare the numbers. Jackson, 35 carries, 192 yards, also 4 touchdowns rushing. He's almost at 70% throwing this year.
That's what drops last week.
501 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions.
Yep.
Should have had another last week.
Oh, my
Preston
goodness.
Howard doesn't drop that ball in the end zone.
Yeah, his completion percentage would be over 70% if not for some drops this past week. You know, the threat of Mateer running and the tight end and Mateer's ability to get the ball to multiple receivers, I think this week is going to be a critical ball game for Auburn's linebackers and safeties.
Well, yes, absolutely. And we have seen Xavier Atkins emerge with back-to-back, with 5 tackle games in his first 2 games for Auburn, 12 tackles, 4 tackles for loss for the LSU transfer. We've seen Robert Woodyard Jr. emerge for Auburn. And then, you know, DeMarcus Riddick at that other linebacker spot. Beyond that, it's some young guys. And Auburn will continue to play those young guys. Elijah Melendez and Bryce Diaz. These guys are going to play important minutes for Auburn. I love getting Champ Anthony back, whether he's playing at safety or at star or the nickel spot for Auburn. It will be compromise isn't the right word, but he's, you know, that hand with the broken thumb will be wrapped heavily.
Oh yeah,
for him to play in this game on Saturday. But I like having his presence back on the field for Auburn. I think this is a potentially big game for Sylvester Smith. And Sylvester did not have a great game against Baylor. He was outstanding, I thought, against Ball State. What does he do now in the biggest stage for Auburn so far this season, against a quality offense that can throw it, that can run it? And so what kind of game does Sylvester Smith have for Auburn? What kind of game does Newboy Fagans have for Auburn as a true freshman that goes into a big-time atmosphere? Biggest he's played in front of on the road. I mean, Auburn, I thought he played well for Auburn at Baylor, but that was 47,000. This is 80,000, and this is Oklahoma, not Baylor, in the national stage on Saturday. So, well, there's a lot. There's a lot to this game on Saturday. There are a lot of storylines going just beyond, and that's getting beyond the storylines with the quarterbacks in this game on Saturday.
Yeah, no question. As Hugh Freeze said, this is what you come to the SEC for. They're going to be games like this all the time, and this is the first of many big ones in the conference this year. Really looking forward to it, Andy. As we wind things down, let everybody know. I mean, what all's going on with the network? I mean, you've got your Talking Tigers podcast. What all's going on with that? And then, what's the plan for this weekend?
Right now, the Talking Tigers podcast, we deal with Auburn NIL. Boy, has it been an important topic, and
no
will
kidding.
Be for many years to come. With Cannon Gaines, who is in our office, he's the director of Playfly Max, and the work that he does with the Auburn student athletes and partnering those folks with different business partners, both large and the mom-and-pop stores, so to speak, across the landscape, and Brett Whiteside, who is Auburn's associate AD for player management. So that's the current Talking Tigers podcast. On Monday, the first of a two-part series with Pat Dye Jr. We talked after Auburn's reunion game against Ball State, where all of those Auburn players, staff members, coaches were back for a reunion that played for and worked with Coach Dye in his outstanding 12 years. And didn't it seem like he was here longer than 12 years?
It really does.
Just the impact of his presence on this campus, and we talk about that.
Well, it's because his impact didn't just stop when he finished coaching either.
No, and that's the legacy of it. And it's an impact, Bill, of what has become of Auburn athletics across the landscape, and also what the lives of those players that played underneath him, and the legacy of what they've become now as husbands and workers and fathers and coaches and players, and just it's an incredible legacy. And we talk about that with Pat Dye Jr. for the next couple of weeks on the Talking Tigers podcast. We are still working on our lineup for Saturday.
Okay.
For the Tiger Tailgate Show, will go on the air at 11:30 from Oklahoma. Wow, that'd be an interesting story, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
I don't think you're going to make it to the game, Andy, if pre-game's in Opelika.
Yeah, there's not enough space for that in Opelika. But our guests include, among others, former Auburn wide receiver Ronnie Daniels. We wanted to talk with someone who had gone on their road and had big games. And, buddy, think about a couple of those road games that Ronnie Daniels had in his brief Auburn career, that LSU game in Baton Rouge, that enormous game
Georgia.
He had at Georgia
in
his career. So Ronnie Daniels will be among our guests on Saturday. Ronnie Brown will be on the sideline for this one for Saturday. The temperature is supposed to be, I think, very similar to what it was like last week here at Auburn.
Hot.
So looking forward to that. I know there's a lot of Auburn folks headed out that way. They've got a big tailgate that's going to be taking place starting at 10:30, the northeast corner, or beyond the northeast corner there at Memorial Stadium.
Duck pond, right? Is that what I heard last night?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the area. We had Kurt Sasser on with Auburn alumni last night. If you're heading there, it's the Duck Pond area there on campus, and they have room, I think, for 1,600, and they're well over halfway as of last night for that tailgate that will start at 10:30. They'll close that down about 2 o'clock. Give folks an opportunity to make their way to Memorial Stadium for that ball game on Saturday. So looking forward to it. I always look forward to these trips where I'm going somewhere for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
This is my first time to Norman. My youngest brother, the opera professor, lives in Norman with his family. So I'll get a chance to spend some time with Joel Tyler and his family on Friday night. Looking forward to that.
Well, that is great. Hope you have a great time, and everybody's in a great mood on the way back.
I do, too. I very much hope that it's a very, very joyous trip back, but obviously a very tough game
against
an outstanding ball club in Oklahoma. But I think this Auburn ball club is very good and better than a lot of folks are giving them credit for.
I agree. Looking forward to it, Andy. Thanks again. We always appreciate you spending some time with us.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle!
Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does each Tuesday. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Open up the phone lines, 334-321-1390. The phone line, the hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. It is 18 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Tuesday afternoon. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Tigers, joining us. It'll be interesting to see how the official predictions go. But early on, I'm not seeing anybody that's given Auburn much of a shot.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma.
I mean, Auburn is
Auburn nationally, everybody's like, it's Oklahoma, and there's no doubt.
Auburn's a touchdown underdog. I know ESPN's app gives Oklahoma about a 66-68% chance of winning. And yeah, I wonder how many folks, especially outside our circle, I wonder how many folks are going to be picking an Auburn win outright. Including when we talk to Jake in the next hour. I wonder.
Many.
I mean, Jake's been bullish on Auburn, but he's he's been a huge Mateer guy.
He has.
The whole time. I'm curious to see what he thinks when we talk to him in the next segment. But no, I'm not
telling you. I am. I'll step out there. I'm stepping out there right now. I don't know. I've got a feeling. I'm picking Auburn this week. I don't think you have seen everything that Auburn can do offensively by any means. I don't. I think the people that don't think Jackson Arnold has the arm to be able to throw the ball down the field. Now the question is, will they protect him? But Oklahoma's without their best pass rusher in the first half. I think Auburn needs to. I think Auburn needs to be able to hit Oklahoma early.
See, and maybe I'm missing the point, but I think the big question Saturday is, can Auburn, and especially with Jackson, run the ball on Oklahoma? Like, I think because if you find yourself one-dimensional that way, I think you're in big trouble.
I think Auburn can run the ball. I think Auburn will be able to run the ball on most people.
That's going to be something that we think, and I think it's reasonable.
I think the offensive line is very good, run blocking, Damari Austin being back, Jackson's ability to run the ball and RPO. I think Auburn will be able to run the ball on just about anybody.
And my guess would be that most of the people picking Oklahoma on Saturday would answer that question with no. Auburn's not going to be able to run the ball on Oklahoma, okay. And that's part of the reason why if you think Oklahoma's going to win. No, I'm with you there. Now, my thing is, we had the caller yesterday. I think it was Spector. I don't want to misquote people. I think it was Spector who talked about Oklahoma finishing with 15 or Auburn needing to hold Oklahoma
goodness. See, goodness. If Auburn holds them under 30 –
yeah, see, that's I think that's exactly right.
Although I think my pick was 27-24, but maybe I might go to 31-27 or 30-27.
That's what I was thinking. Like if the only thing you told me about the game was that Auburn had 27, right now I would think that's not going to be enough.
If it is, it's going to be a skin by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, sure. I would say
that's sort of what I picked,
which is the same. I mean, and I said the week of the Baylor game, I said, if the only thing you told me about that game was that Auburn's going to finish with exactly 28, I would have guessed a loss. Now, Auburn ended up winning the game.
Auburn ended up winning the game and holding Baylor to 24.
Although, if Auburn had only scored 28, that would have been
a much more nerve-wracking game.
It's a much different football game.
But I expect those kind of games in the SEC. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just, again, like we were talking with Andy, there are so many teams that you really just don't know yet. Look, I've got to say, I know more about Auburn than I do Oklahoma, but I mean, just what I've seen of John Mateer, he is a dynamic player, but he's also a guy that he is a gunslinger. He'll throw it up there. Now, Auburn's got to play tighter defensively. They have definitely, they can't be giving cushions the way we saw this past week against South Alabama. They can't do that. They've got to get after him. And they've got to contain him because he can run. He can run outside. He's more of a threat. It's funny. Jackson's really more of a threat to run inside. I mean, Jackson goes back. He's not always breaking away from pressure and going down the sideline. I mean, he's just as likely to run, between the tackles. Whereas John Mateer is a guy that will much more likely skirt to the outside and take it down. But, I mean, he ran for over 800 yards last year.
And I do think the Michigan game, too, I don't know how useful it's going to be as far as projecting this Auburn-Oklahoma game. I mean, Michigan had 0 points at halftime. Like, Michigan opened that game, punt, missed field goal, halftime.
Blake Underwood was really struggling in the first half.
I'll tell you what, you open this game with 3 punts and a missed field goal for Auburn, and I am
Auburn's in big trouble. That's what I was saying. Yeah. Auburn's got to hit Oklahoma early.
Yeah, and that's a trend. If you look at you look at road losses, and I think especially, I mean, and granted, it's been a different story as far as the level of talent, but Auburn's had some road games where you went in cautiously optimistic, and 5 minutes in, it was off the rails, right? You think about Auburn going to the trip to A&M in Freeze's first year. The trip to LSU is the most obvious example of that, where it was. I mean, it's 14-0 when you sit down with your drink,
right?
To
I mean, when you're on the road in the SEC, you can't afford to get in the hole.
No, and that's where this defense is giving up big plays. It's concerning, right? Like that's where that's where this. Like I think that if Auburn, a quick start is so big for Auburn, and that's going to involve a quick start involves not giving up points on your first couple of
part of that's got to be defensively.
Yeah, I think if Oklahoma gets rolling early and gets feeling like they can move the ball at will and score at will, I think that's where that's the kind of game Auburn. I mean, look, and maybe Auburn has the firepower to hang in a game like that, right? I mean, the A&M game last year turned into a wild shootout where both teams needed a lot of points. I think Auburn would I mean, on the road in this situation, you'd want to avoid that because we don't know if Oklahoma has the kind of defense that's going to give up points at will, right? We'll find out.
No, like, I mean, Oklahoma statistically right now, they're very, very good, but they have played Illinois State, Michigan, and Temple.
Right, and Michigan really struggled.
Yes.
Some of that's Oklahoma's offense for sure. Some of that's Oklahoma's defense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, forcing them, but we'll see how good Michigan is against other teams in the Big Ten later this year. That's a true freshman quarterback making start number one.
Right.
No, I think that's going to be you know how the Auburn offense looks in their first couple of drives. For all the attention on Mateer and the Auburn defense, understandably, how Auburn sets the tone when they've got the ball matters a lot. And yeah, I don't think an Auburn prediction seems crazy to me. No, I mean it's not.
I don't think there'd be many of them.
Well, I mean, and I think folks are more willing to forgive Oklahoma's down year than a couple of them in a row.
Oh yeah, four in a row for Auburn.
For Auburn, yeah, so I think maybe that's got something to do with it. But and the fact that it's in Norman probably plays a role too. But
well, Oklahoma should be favored, but I don't think it is. It's just as slam dunk a no question Oklahoma wins.
I'm thinking if Auburn wins, they're going to need to break 30. That's sort of what I'm thinking if an Auburn victory.
I wouldn't be stunned that this talent could score 30 points.
Oh no, that's not. I mean, I think that's absolutely.
I don't think Auburn. You know, Auburn isn't in a situation like they've been for a couple of years where you know you just don't know if they've got if they don't have the weapons to be able to do.
No, I think there wasn't a time. It wasn't all that long ago, Bill. Even though Oklahoma struggled last year. It was fairly recently where this game would feel like going to play the Jaden Daniels LSU team 2 years ago.
Yeah,
like where you were like, oh, looking around the depth chart, and they're better everywhere, and they've got a superstar at quarterback, and you're just going to hold on for dear life.
Yeah, it's
got
to be a miracle. You're going to have to have a
that's
miracle.
Not,
they've got to help you. They've got to turn it over five or six
that's
times.
Not the way this feels.
No. All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Dan mentioned Jake Crane. He'll be joining us at 5:30, but until then, we're wide open. Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive. First Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Final couple of minutes of hour number one here of the Tuesday Drive with Bill and Dan. We'd love to hear from you. What are you thinking here early in the week now? Of course, last week at this time, I was confident. It was no question Tennessee was going to beat Georgia. What did I tell you by Friday? Got my picks wrong. Georgia's going to win.
We talked ourselves,
I may think that by Friday. I may be thinking, nope, Auburn's not going to beat Oklahoma. But, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think Auburn looks like they're going to be pretty healthy. We can talk about that. We mentioned it briefly a little while ago. Most everybody that has been questionable or banged up for Auburn was participating in practice today.
Yeah, it was good to see, you know, some of the guys that had been held out for a couple of weeks. I know Damari really eager to get back out there after his Baylor game. And, you know, this is a guy who'd been, you know, biding his time. And I still think Jeremiah Cobb could be the first one that Auburn deploys after
but
the play.
Nice to have. It'd be nice to have them both.
Yeah, no, I think that you'll see if Damari is full go, and that's what I expect on Saturday. Yeah. I think you'll see Auburn go to the dual tailback sort of thing more, you know, more regularly and earlier than they have in these last couple of games. And then, yeah, it's great. I mean, you think Malcolm adds something.
Eric.
Having Eric back. I thought it was a good sign.
The concern of him with a hip pointer.
Yeah. It was a good sign yesterday, though, when Hugh Freeze was saying we're going to need Eric to have some big games coming up. It sounded like Eric was pretty healthy yesterday. And Champ Anthony, Bill. Like that's one that Auburn secondary needs. You know, they need a boost from somewhere, and mm-hmm. and Champ can certainly provide that.
Oh yeah, all right. We have come to the end of hour number one. Plenty of time for you to join in, though. As again, we're wide open until 5:30, so stick with us. We're right back with hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive. Clouding up a little bit. I guess maybe it's just getting closer to sunset. I've noticed the last couple of days. Well, it's dark.
Yeah,
it's 7 o'clock or just a couple of minutes after.
We're approaching what about a month away from setting the clocks back or so? Maybe
we
six
are,
weeks.
Yeah, well, we're less than a week away from the official start of fall.
That's right.
I think it's next Monday, I believe, isn't it?
And it's been noticeably cooler in the evenings too. It's getting a little, you know, it's starting to feel a little bit more like fall, and you know, little Halloween adjacent. I'm okay with it, Bill.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And of course, Andy's saying that the Auburn Oklahoma game this week expected temperatures about like they were this past week for the Auburn South Alabama game. So it's not going to be fallish feeling. Out in Norman, Oklahoma this week. We'd love your thoughts on Auburn, Oklahoma, anything you want to talk about sports-wise here in hour number two. We're wide open until 5:30 when Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us. We'll get his thoughts on last week's games and look ahead toward this week. Some more interesting ball games on tap. This week you've got four or five SEC teams that have open dates. This week, including Georgia and Alabama before their big matchup next week. Texas A&M has the week off before Auburn goes there next week. So, but there's still some interesting games around the SEC this week. The Auburn-Oklahoma game is pretty much the
I think with Bama the, Georgia both
the
off
top with, game in the league this
with,
week
with
isn't
Bama
it?
With Bama and Georgia both yeah. off before the bye, you know, before the showdown next week. I think Auburn Oklahoma looks like your best game.
Oh, yeah.
In the SEC. You know, I want to see what happens when Tulane goes to Ole Miss. I want to see what happens when Florida goes to Miami. Those are interesting games involving SEC teams.
Arkansas goes to Memphis.
I think South Carolina is in big trouble.
I think South Carolina is in deep trouble.
That game seemed more interesting before the injury to Sellers and before the disaster at home against Vanderbilt. And yeah, they're an early. That's an early season taking on water, right? We were talking about Florida for a while after the Gators lost game number two early in the season.
Yeah, and Shane Beamer's being asked about the Virginia Tech job.
Yeah, right? And Shane Beamer, which I think would have happened.
He's being asked about it by some South Carolina people.
Yeah, I think that would have happened anyway because he's Shane Beamer. But the fact that I mean, very quickly, I think his approval rating has cratered. As South Carolina coach, and if they, you know, if they can't get off the mat, like I had a bad feeling about them a year ago, and they ended up going 9-3. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see if
Because Sellers sort of came out of nowhere.
I don't want to go premature on South Carolina, but if this game at Missouri goes poorly,
well, they've got a stretch. Yeah, they've got a stretch after. All right, next week they've got Kentucky at home. Then they have an open date, but then they go. To LSU, host Oklahoma and Alabama, to Ole Miss, to Texas A&M. Those are their next, next six games.
I mean, the thinking was that they'd be able to handle Vanderbilt and Missouri, and then it's like, well, you get into the really daunting part of your schedule, mm-hmm. and your hopes are still alive. Your hopes are dashed before that stretch starts. I just, yeah, it could get gnarly, and yeah, I wonder if Virginia Tech and South Carolina and Shane Beamer could come to some sort of understanding. There are a lot of other coaches who don't have those kind of ties to the VTech right. program that they could pursue, but there's a statue of the guy's dad, you know, outside the stadium.
Yeah, indeed. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it. And Yellowhammer is up first this hour. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. So I'm deeply concerned. We have to play Vanderbilt.
That's right.
Hey, Vandy is they're absolutely no joke.
I saw some highlights, and God, they look good.
Yes, they did.
I mean, it's discipline. You know, it's almost like service academy football. Like they are,
except they can throw.
They can throw, but they are disciplined. They have their identity, and they're willing to run the clock down to nothing on every play. And it can be a frustrating experience if you don't take advantage of your. You know, Andy Burcham talked about this, like the ability to play ball control and keep an opposing team's offense off the field. Vanderbilt is just, I mean, they're fantastic at it.
Well, that brings me to another ball control thing. Can Oklahoma run on us?
Oklahoma hasn't been a great running team, but they had a freshman who ran for 100 yards this past week. Their biggest threat before last week had been their quarterback, John Mateer. If they can run on Auburn, then that's not good news. Because
we lose if that happens.
Yeah, Auburn has struggled and given up some chunk plays through the air passing. And if Auburn, you know, has to really be concerned with the Oklahoma run, that could really open up their passing game.
Yeah, they didn't really, you know, I think it was through the air where Mateer shined against Michigan. I mean, the run game was 3.5 a carry. It was fairly pedestrian against Michigan. It's not to say they can't have bigger games. They're integrating Ott into the offense more and more. He's a really talented back. Mateer can make plays with his legs. Now that's another question mark. Is how much is Oklahoma going to try to run the ball? And what happens when they do? You know, like can Auburn stop them and force? Because if Oklahoma's able to, you know, if Oklahoma can find success, especially up the middle, then it's like you're in such a tough spot as a defense trying to stop them. I would think that's something. The question of how much they try it and can Auburn? I mean, Auburn's had more success against the run as a defense, but they also haven't really faced a team dead set
I wouldn't say Oklahoma is. Oklahoma is 12th in the SEC right now in rushing, and they are 14th in the league in yards per rush. So,
bad.
So they have not been – well, they're still averaging better. They're averaging a little over 4 yards a rush, which isn't terrible. That just tells you either how bad some of the defenses the SEC's been playing are or how good – the SEC offenses are, but that has not been the strength of the Oklahoma team has been running the ball. And Auburn, on the other hand, is second in the SEC in rush defense, only giving up 67 yards a game. So you would think that Auburn would be pretty good. The biggest concern's got to be the quarterback, Mateer. Got to be containing him, not letting him, you know, break the pocket and make some plays there, or break the pocket, you come up to try to stop the run, and he hits a big pass.
Yeah, he's a go-to guy, as Freeze called him on Monday. You know, he's one of those quarterbacks where I think you're comfortable. I mean, at times Auburn tried this with Bo Nix, right, where it's like you're comfortable with him throwing it 35-plus times and running it 10-plus, 15-plus times. Like, the ball is going to be in his hands a lot. If he's able to hand it off and find success with his running backs, that's a really tough sign for a team trying to stop them.
What do you think of our edge rushers?
You know, I wish
pretty good actually.
Yeah, I wish Amaris was healthy because he'd had a really good start to a season that you know was shaping up to be a breakout for him. Instead, we'll see how much Amaris can we'll see how much Amaris can contribute on Saturday. Keldrick is, you know, I don't make this point enough, but going to the practice windows, I mean, it's the beat writers and like several NFL scouts every time, and they're watching everybody, but they're really watching the defensive line, and you can tell.
Let me ask you though, Dan, do you think it's because teams, have they been putting somebody extra on Keldrick? Haven't really noticed him as much as I thought we would to this point.
You know, I think there have been times when you notice him. I think Auburn was strategic about deploying him against Baylor because of the temperature and wanting, you know, him to have something left in the fourth quarter. So they're pulling him on and off. And then these last 2 weeks, I don't know what the plan has necessarily been for Keldrick, or if it's been about trying to get more snaps for Amaris and Jared and Chris and Kieron.
I think Kieron and Chris have played really well at the Buck.
Yeah. I think that's something that, and you saw some Jared Smith plays at the end of the game on Saturday. No, that's you know, I would have said going into the season that Auburn is probably better prepared to stop a quarterback who's really dangerous on the ground than they are to stop a quarterback who's really dangerous through the air. We'll see what it looks like. But Sawyer, you know, Sawyer wasn't really a factor on the ground. He was a factor through the air at Baylor. We'll see if Mateer can get away from Auburn's front seven. That's I don't know. I have a feeling he's going to have more success finding soft spots in the coverage than he is outrunning Auburn's front seven.
Okay, well, thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer.
Did you say that's probably fair, Bill? Like,
yeah,
I think Mateer.
It sure is what it's appeared to this point.
Well, if Mateer can outrun Auburn's front seven and make plays that way, then Oklahoma's scoring.
I don't know that Auburn has much of a chance at all.
Tell you what, Oklahoma's scoring a lot more than 15.
Yeah, you're right.
John Mateer
scoring 15 a quarter.
If John Mateer can outrun the Auburn front seven, you know you're not holding them to 15 or fewer.
Yeah, Oklahoma. And again, it's three games in, so stats are really. I mean, they can be so misleading because if you play a really bad team, it can really skew the stats in your favor. You play a really good team, it's more about the result of the game, not the stats. It's really difficult when you look in here and I say, well, you know, Auburn's giving up this or allowing that and being able to do this. I think Auburn can run, and it'll be interesting to see how well Oklahoma does. Like I said, the stats don't mean everything, but Oklahoma's given up a little less than 100 yards a game on the ground. But Auburn is Auburn still leading the league in rushing offense? No, they're third behind Missouri and Arkansas now at 242 a game.
Right, and these are things where I think the absolutes, or, you know, what you think you know about a team, a couple of weeks from now. Right, we'll see that.
We've played a couple of more SEC games.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get the idea. And I did think it was interesting. Have you seen the story about ESPN filed a story earlier today that Mateer has taken over as the Heisman favorite at a couple of sports books?
Because a couple of other SEC guys that were supposed to be big solid front runners have dropped back.
That's right. Arch Manning was your preseason favorite.
Gus Meyer was up there.
Lenora Sellers was up there as well. You can get him.
Weren't those guys the top three, your first three team preseason all-conference quarterbacks?
Yes, that's correct. Sellers was first, Nussmeier
second, and Manning third.
Yeah. And I think those were –
you know where they are right now in the SEC numbers as far as quarterback efficiency?
They're by the bottom.
14, 15, and 16.
And I would – you know, here I think they made sense as the picks at the time.
Well,
Arch was the most speculative. You know, right. But even like picking someone instead of Arch.
I mean, yeah, Nussmeier threw for 4,000 yards.
Right, Nussmeier threw 4,000 yards. Sellers had the season he had. You didn't really have any other returning starters right around the conference who had big.
I mean Mateer had put up pretty good numbers at Washington State, but
could you have picked Pavia? Instead of Arch Manning,
you could have.
I think there's, you know, there's.
Oh, speaking of him, you see the story today.
Now he said on social media, this is his last season.
Okay, why is his attorney doing this? Because his attorney wants a piece of the action.
How about
that's
this?
Why.
Billable hours, Bill. That's why his attorney is doing that. But okay, so you've got Mateer, as the current Heisman favorite. ESPN bet showing up 8.5-1 odds to win the Heisman.
May be good news for Auburn.
You can find
the way the Heisman frontrunners have done so far.
There are some places where you can find Carson Beck as low as 7-1 right now to win the Heisman Trophy. You've also got Dante Moore at Oregon, who's now 13-1 in some places. Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State is at 18-1. And I think there is and the Notre Dame running back has some folk, you know, some, Jeremiah Love. I think people think that he could have a really, you know, especially with Notre Dame's schedule, like folks maybe they can't move the needle playoff wise.
Yeah, but if they don't make the playoffs, it's tough. It's gonna
tough. He would need to have an overwhelming year statistically. I think he could, right? Like he's very good running back, and they have a manageable schedule. But you're right; it's going to be it's tough for a running back anyway. It's going to be real tough for one of his teams not in the thick of the playoff mix.
All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get to Alan before we get to our first break this hour. Hey, Alan.
Hey guys, honest question here, and kind of a follow up to Yellowhammer. Based on the first three games, if you were game planning against Auburn's defense, how prominent would the run be in your game plan right now?
It wouldn't be, probably.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So I mean, it's almost. Why would you even go there?
Well, you'd want to do some things to try to keep them honest and see if you could catch them by surprise at times. But yeah, I don't know that you just want to line up and try to run it though, play after play.
Yeah. I mean, just throw the ball. I mean, you don't need to run the ball. Just throw it. Auburn hadn't stopped consistently. I mean, they stop inside the red zone. I give them that. I mean, but your team's moved the ball. Just throwing it.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at all.
Barely. So, I mean, I don't know. So what, they got a bad run game? They may not need it. So from what I've seen so far, you don't really need it.
South Alabama ran for, I mean, nearly half of South Alabama's yards were on the ground. I know it felt like more because they had a couple of big passing plays, but South Alabama was able to find a little bit of balance, and I do think you probably don't want to be one-dimensional because then you're setting your quarterback up for hits because Auburn's pass rushers can come at you. I think Auburn did a pretty good job hitting the Baylor quarterback, even though they did get passing yards. And there's the possibility of turnovers too if you want to go totally one-dimensional like that. But no, I think if the concern would be if Auburn has to do, you know, extra stuff to stop the pass, if they have to put extra guys in coverage or they have, you know, guys playing back, it makes it tougher to stop the run against a good team, right? Like if you have to overplay a passing game to stop it, then Oklahoma could run right up the middle and take advantage of that. And John Mateer could find wide open space when he goes on the ground. And so that's sort of, you know, it's like if you're, you know, a boxer trying to block body punches, right? Like, well, suddenly you leave the chin open. You know, potentially leave the face unprotected, and so yeah, I think that's where Auburn's problems against the pass could eventually weaken Auburn as a run defense.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Appreciate it, Alan.
I think it's a fair question, though.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Like how much? I mean, but I think Oklahoma is going to try to, like, Oklahoma might be bracing for a lot of dime, right, and a lot of Auburn defense. Good. You know, we got to stop John Mateer from lighting us up, and that could lead to Oklahoma having some success. I mean, we talked about it with Baylor, right? Baylor was so concerned about getting beaten on the outside by those Auburn receivers that they conceded a big rushing game, and it's, you know, if Auburn is really concerned about what John Mateer can do with his skill options, Auburn could fall into the same trap.
Yeah, and I mean, as I look here and what Alan's talking about, Auburn is 15th in the SEC in pass defense efficiency. Yep. You know who the only team behind Auburn in pass defense?
Who's behind Auburn?
How about the Bulldogs?
Oh, Georgia. Wow.
Georgia is 16. That is crazy. Of course, the fact that Tennessee and Georgia threw it all over the field against each other.
Yeah, where's Tennessee?
Tennessee's 14th.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, we'll get to our first break. Casey, hang on. You're up when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Experience and knowledge.
Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Let's get to the phones because we've got a full bank of them.
Now.
And Casey's up first. Hey, Casey.
What's happening, everybody?
Hey,
bud. Y'all are doing good today.
Yeah.
Sorry, somebody's trying to call in. I was just going to make my observations in the first three games, which don't mean much. They're basically three things. Number one, our defense is going to have to take more risk on blitz.
I think the defense got to be more aggressive, period.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and the concern there is that you're you know, if coverage is the liability, then you're, you know, only leaving those guys more exposed by dropping, you know, by blitzing. But yeah, there's no other option, right?
And what's crazy, yeah, though, is, Dan, I mean, we thought coming into this season, mm-hmm, that would be one of the strengths, yeah, if not the strength of this team.
Because you brought guys back, but bringing guys back does not necessarily mean they're going to continue climbing each step of the development. What, each rung of the development ladder? Yeah, it's not exactly how it goes.
Yeah, the other observation I have is that, you know, a lot of people want to say, well, we haven't showed that much on offense. Well, a straight fly route with a bunch of bombs is really not anything, you know, that should be, in-house secret. We haven't thrown many of those, and so I really doubt that Jackson's got really a big long bomb capability. I don't think he has a strong arm after 45, 50 yards. Not a lot of people do, probably. Can't throw.
No, yeah, you're right.
Other than. Here's the thing. Here's how I see the game playing out. Oklahoma is going to absolutely load the box. And if we can't make big plays on offense, with Singleton, and we're going to have to be able to throw a long, just drop back and throw it, no matter, you know, Hugh gets in there in his mind and starts reading the box. Sometimes you just got to throw it. You know, you just got to throw it and let your players make the play. We've got allegedly two $1.5 million receivers who should be top 10 or close to the first round draft picks. You've got to make them, let them, you know, throw it up to them. And so we haven't done that hardly at all. I think we did it once this past weekend.
Yeah, did it once, and it was a touchdown.
Yep. And so I also think on defense, we got to have our best players in. I mean, even if Champ is at like 85% or basically hampered with the club hand, he's better than Caleb Harris. Caleb Harris is just going to have to get his experience in games that, unfortunately, don't matter that much.
I'll tell you what, Caleb's in a different spot. It's really Eric Winters if you're not seeing Caleb.
And the guy who looks like he's losing, just based on today, the guy who looks like he could be losing his spot in the starting lineup is Jacquez. Is the one who
we're going to have to zone blitz, but I can absolutely tell you, like you guys were just talking about, if Mateer begins to run the ball in the interior, and because I don't think they have that much production from their back, their starting back, we're going up against another air raid type offense, so we're going to have those really widespread offensive linemen. We're going to have wide receivers split far out, so they're going to be, if they run their routes clearly, we make a mistake, we're going to pay for it, just like we did in Baylor. And we gave a lot of that up until we got to the last 40 yards, until we got to the goal line. We did much better, but I think in between those routes, we're going to have to make at least three stops in this game to have an advantage. Or be in the game, we're going to have some three and outs. We can't just continually let them. I mean, this has probably been the worst third down defense I've seen since, Johnson. It was a defensive coordinator. Like, we could never get off the field in those defenses, it seemed like, ever.
Third and long has been, and there were games
last year where that was a problem too. I mean, there was the Arkansas game. You know, had several big third and long conversions. You know, there was the Oklahoma the rushing touchdown by the Oklahoma quarterback last year was on a third and long play early in that game. So I mean, there have been moments last year where that was a point of emphasis, and yeah, a lot of that is just sort of it's winning your one on one matchup. It's in the secondary, keeping a guy covered and making the play. Auburn got close over and over again at South Alabama to getting that team off the field. And it felt like, every time that the other team had Auburn's number. And if that's the case against Oklahoma, it's going to be a big problem. I'm the one about Jackson going deep.
I'm not as concerned about Jackson's arm. Yeah. I think that maybe the concern from Hugh has been the protection for Jackson. But I think Jackson's got. Plenty of arm to throw the ball deep.
Yeah, I wonder if he's burned by not being able to, by not being able to, like last year you had Peyton and you called some plays where you thought he was going to have protection to go deep. Things broke down early. I wonder if they're calling fewer of those.
I don't know.
So far this year.
Well, yeah, they are calling fewer. Don't know why.
But. Yeah, and I think if they need to break that against Oklahoma, we'll see what it looks like. Appreciate the phone call, Casey.
334-321-1390. Brian is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. Just two statements and then a question for you all, and maybe something. You still got Jake on this afternoon at the end of the hour. One thing I'll say, listening to y'all yesterday, you were talking at one point about, comparing Jackson Arnold to other quarterbacks. I don't like to play the quarterback because every quarterback is different. But I will say that from a pocket presence, he reminds me of a lot he looks to me like a Josh Allen in the way that he runs and presents himself and is kind of built like that from that perspective. But anyways, the other thing I said,
I think Josh Allen is like 6 inches taller than Jackson. Otherwise, I agree with you though, and I think I think his the willingness to get physical with it. I see more Baker Mayfield personally, but I get what you're saying. Sure,
yeah. I can see Baker too. Yeah, that's probably a better. You're the MC. That's why I call in. That's better comparison. And I've determined that in my 30-plus years of being an Auburn fan or longer, that I just determined that we can't have two nice things at the same time. We've either got a good offense and a bad defense, or a bad defense and a good offense. So a good defense and a bad offense. I just determined that very rarely we get the off season or the off years where we have both. But it's just kind of, it seems like one is down, the other picks it up. When the other one is down, the other one picks it up. So, my question is this, and maybe you can ask Jake too, because I keep going back to something he said at the beginning of the year for the Baylor game, is that he saw a lot of man coverage out of the secondary. And I'm not smart enough to read coverages like you guys probably are, and definitely Jake is, and obviously – Jake isn't as smart as Durkin, because he'd be doing it if he was. But I'm just curious. I'm not a big believer in that we hold things back. But how much of that do you think are we in a lot more man coverage, and should we be in zone more? And then B, are we still playing base vanilla, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think Auburn's still playing. Man, they've just played soft man, is what it's appeared to me the last couple of games. We'll get Jake to give to give us his analysis of how he described it.
I don't think it's a matter of saving things defensively. I think they're trying what works, and they tried what they thought was going to work against Baylor, and ultimately holding Baylor to 24 points, it did. But just like holding, if you just look at the number of points the other team scored, like. Which is a very important part of how the defense is doing.
And it's the most important part of the defense.
It's like that part has been a success. It's the on a per play basis the number of plays in a drive, things like that, where it's been a little more concerning. But no, I don't think it's a matter of holding things back. Hey Brian, we're gonna try to keep things moving. You want to try to get to Greg, or you want to?
Let's get to Greg quickly.
All right, real quick, Greg.
Hey Greg.
Hey guys, I'm gonna piggyback what he just said. We're talking about holding things back and all this. Page out of Gus, Malzahn's playbook. Look, people seen the practices. Oklahoma knows what Jackson Arnold can do. They know what our receivers are capable of doing. For whatever reason, I don't know why everybody else in the country that can throw the ball can get their ball to their receivers and throw for 400 yards. I don't want to see us throw for 400. I'd love to see, you know, 250 and run the dang ball. But all this holding stuff back, I don't believe in that.
No.
I don't know that it's holding it back. I don't know that it's holding it back, but I do think some of the things that haven't worked, like Dan was saying a while ago, that haven't worked for Hugh Freeze in the last couple of years at Auburn, have probably changed his philosophy a little bit. He is definitely less the let's go deep, let's take shots, let's speed it up than he used to be.
I'm not ready to say this team can't stretch the field in the passing game because of Jackson Arnold's arm. And a lot of folks have already seemingly like not. they've figured that out. Look, and a couple of games from now I could very well say that. Like I'll be right there with you.
But I sure haven't seen it in practice. He throws the ball the length of that whole practice field, so I mean no.
Well, as long as he hits the passes, you know, the ones they're going to give him, that's fine. You hit him over top every now and then, whatever. But I mean, it's my whole thing is sometimes I would just like to see, you know, these three games we played. Sometimes my player is better than your player. I'm going to throw it up there to him or throw it around there to him, let him go make a play. That's not hiding nothing. Every defensive coordinator is going to expect the worst, hope for the best, and then they're going to adjust on that. So, I mean, that is what it is. But all that to be said, guys, these next 2 weeks, we're about to find out. Hugh Freeze is either going to make or break his tenure at Auburn, and that's my opinion, these next 2 weeks right here. We're going to find out what's he going to do. Is he going to second-guess himself, or is he going to line up and play some hard-nosed Auburn football? And after 2 weeks, we're going to find out what kind of coach we got. We're going to find out what kind of team we got. And I think we're going to go over there and give it to him. And I think it's going to be a nail-biter. But, hey, we're Auburn fans. We ain't using nothing but that. So, hey, War Eagle guys, I hope y'all have a great day, and I'll be listening.
Good hearing from you, Greg. We're getting to the bottom of the hour break a little late. Jake Crane of Crane & Company joins us on the other side. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. A little late getting to him, but we're pleased to be joined by our regular Tuesday guest from Crane & Company, and that's Jake Crane. Hey, Jake, how's it going?
Oh, God, it's going fantastic. Just wish there was some football on tonight. That's about it. Then it'd be perfect.
Yeah, but you can tell we're into SEC season now. It's like we're trying to clear calls so we can get to you. People are pretty fired up about conference season.
Yeah, especially when you're 3-0. I mean, when's the last time that you felt like Auburn kind of played in a game of this magnitude at this point in the season to really kind of springboard yourself through the middle of it? And you get to find out a lot more about your team going up against this type of competition. Not that Baylor was anything to wag a stick at, and you went on the road and played that one and won that one. But this challenge this weekend, it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. Right, and Auburn, I mean, Auburn was 3-0 in Freeze's first year, but you didn't necessarily feel like they were in a position to compete once you got into the meat of the SEC schedule and the games against A&M and Georgia, and especially at LSU, sort of confirmed that over the subsequent stretch. This is an Auburn roster that, while I understand why Oklahoma's favored, you know, I get why people think this is an Auburn roster that could be dangerous and has, you know, a puncher's chance or better going into Norman on Saturday.
No, without a doubt. I mean, if Auburn plays well, you know, they can put themselves in a position to win the game. If they play well and Oklahoma doesn't, they will win the game. You know, we can sit here and go through the superlatives of the personnel. I mean, everybody's heard about Mateer. We were high on him before the season and it ended up coming to fruition. But to me, you know, the things that you feel strong about, this Auburn offense and offensive line, especially with R. Mason Thomas being gone in the first half because of targeting, which I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, is a huge deal. I think he's their best defensive lineman. You feel like Auburn should be able to have some success running the ball, and Oklahoma hasn't faced an offense that can hurt you in multiple ways yet. Michigan, Bryce Underwood's still kind of figuring it out. You shut down the run, you kind of shut them down. and you feel like Auburn's kind of saved some things for this game. Where I'm worried, guys, is on the defensive side. You know, Auburn's pass rush hasn't looked amazing. It's looked good. I mean, we know Keldrick can play, Crawford can play. It hasn't overwhelmed the competition yet. And what I worry about is when you are a heavy man coverage team, which Auburn is, and you're not able to get to the quarterback consistently and get him down, you open yourself up to what we've kind of seen against teams that have a pulse on offense. I mean, yeah, the defense did some good things against Baylor, but Sawyer Robertson put up crooked numbers in the passing game. I'm just wondering if Auburn is ever going to go against DJ Durkin's type and maybe throw some more zone coverage in there against Mateer, which you haven't seen a lot of on tape, because if not, especially if he gets loose, he can not only hurt you, he can kill you.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, we had a caller, just a couple of callers back before we got you on, wondering about that, wanting a description. What is this? I mean, is he said, it looks like it's man, but it doesn't really look like man. It's a loose man.
Well, look, you always run different things. You don't ever always run one thing. And depending on what type of man coverage it is or what type of split coverage it is, it can look different, and I'll, as somebody who coached DBs for 6 years, I'll go ahead and give you a hint. It always ends up being man coverage. It's just what you do at the beginning. It's zone till it's man. The biggest difference outside of just following one guy, which you can pass things off in man, especially against stacks and clusters, but really what it changes is your eyes pre-snap. If you're a corner and it's zone coverage, and you're getting doubles, you're eyeing quarterback to number two, and your eyes eventually work back to who comes into your zone. That's how you can run cut coverages and things like that. With man, your eyes are locked on who you are covering unless there's some sort of deciphering because of their alignment. So it's not like Auburn has just run man, but they try to specialize in man coverage, especially when they bring pressures. And I don't know if we have the personnel yet that's good enough to be able to go out there and do it. And you know who's had the exact same problem as Auburn? It's Notre Dame. Go watch Notre Dame. It's very, very similar to what's happening to them defensively as to what's been happening to Auburn as a heavy man coverage team.
Yeah, Jake, at times it's been man coverage. Too often it's been, oh, man coverage.
Yeah.
You know, watching this Auburn team. We had, you know, we're wondering, like, how big is Mateer's ability to run going to be in this game? Because that's something, you know, going into the season, I would have said I liked Auburn's front seven, you know, being able to contain a running threat at quarterback. We haven't really seen anyone attempt that. Sawyer Robertson seemingly got hurt early in that Baylor game, and they were behind a lot, so he didn't really lean on his running threat. But I mean, how do you think Mateer's gonna be able to? And I guess the Oklahoma run game as a whole, you know, where does that factor in Saturday?
Well, you know, you have two different buckets in the quarterback run game. You have the design quarterback run, which we've seen a lot from Auburn as well. Power read, Q power, zone read, with the ability obviously to keep because it's the read. And then you have the kind of chaos plays where the guy just scrambles or recognizes man, backs are turned, let's see it and get going. And Mateer can do all of that. The hardest part about it is, number one, making him beat you from the pocket is tough because of his elusiveness, but it kind of slows you down when you have to think about how you pass rush somebody. Because if there's a court, like if Quinn Ewers was sitting back there, I could really just pin my ears back and get to a spot, and he's most likely going to be there. With Mateer, if you just blind rush, he's going to go up underneath you or run around you if you lose contain and really, really hurt you. So it's being disciplined in two different areas. The design run, whether that be quarterback or running back, and then the improvised scramble drill chaos plays that I think Mateer really specializes in.
Talking with Jake Crane here on the Tuesday Drive. Jake, one of the things that I just feel that Auburn's got to do without their best pass rusher for the first half, without their center for the game, that this is one of those things, and you always feel this way when you're on the road, you don't want to get off to a slow start. Auburn needs to hit Oklahoma early and build some confidence.
Without a doubt, and you've got to get them out of their game plan and you know, get them off their spot, per se. And going on the road, obviously being able to throw that punch early it kind of changes the crowd as well,
mm-hmm.
Because they get a little bit less juiced, not thinking their team's about to roll, and that nervous anxiousness and that game pressure kind of flips on the home team to be able to protect their turf. You don't want to give Oklahoma any more momentum early than they have going into this game, because they're going to be fired up. They believe they're a college football playoff team. I don't think they're crazy for thinking that. So if you're able to go there and kind of throw a punch early to get them on their heels, it's really going to set you up to have a chance to be in the game in the second half.
Jake, we had some folks wondering about Auburn's pass game in this game. I mean, I think Auburn has shown, I think how Auburn runs the ball is going to be tremendously important. But what's your sense of Jackson Arnold and these receivers and this offensive line, and whether or not Auburn can go downfield on Saturday?
Well, I'm interested to see what Oklahoma comes out in. You know, I don't think you're going to get the two high safety flat foot look that you got from Baylor. I think Brent Venables is going to say, okay, Jackson Arnold, if you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me with your arm. We're not going to let you line up and do what you did for us against Alabama last year. So I expect a lot of one high. I think they're going to pressure to try and rattle Jackson early. What I hope to see is, one, Auburn is able to establish a run game that's good enough. It doesn't have to be amazing, but good enough to be unpredictable and balanced on offense and set up play action and kind of spitting that now screen out off that zone read action, kind of like we see from Tennessee and what Heupel's done for so long. But again, these Auburn receivers, I think you're going to get one-on-one opportunities in this game. This is where you got to go earn your money. This is why Auburn paid Eric Singleton Jr. that type of money. This is why Cam Coleman gets that type of money. For you to go out in games like this, and when it's you versus them, you dominate them, and you break their spirit, and you break their soul. If you want to be a big dog, if you want to be part of the turnaround at Auburn, it starts Saturday in Norman. When you line up and it's one-on-one coverage, and I know it, and Jackson knows it, and they know it, and God knows it, and they call the vertical route with the back shoulder attached depending on leverage, and you get a chance to go make a play, you go make the play, and I don't care if you tell them about it a little bit after you do it. Auburn needs that swagger back, and they need their big dogs to go be big dogs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jake. It is time. The time is going to be, you know, this Saturday for these guys to show it. And, you know, we had a couple of callers saying, it's funny, a lot of Auburn people that haven't seen Jackson except for the games this year are concerned that he can't get the ball more than 20 yards downfield. He can get the ball downfield. They just really haven't done it.
Yeah, well, it's funny, you know, fans are always going to complain about something. Just ask Brian Kelly. But at the end of the day, Auburn has actually taken what the defense has given them.
Right.
That was one of the biggest complaints that anybody who knows what they're looking at has had the past couple years, is that Auburn keeps trying to prove something to a defense that isn't giving them that look. Oh, Peyton Thorne can throw the ball. Here, let's go give him the option to do it in big moments when we're running the ball well. No, this year, Hugh and this offensive staff said, all right, this is what you're going to give us. We're going to make the smart play. We're going to make the smart decision. We're going to go with the numbers. So if you're smart enough to do that, you're going to always give yourself a chance to end up in the right play. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out because the other side played well, not because you tried to do something that you shouldn't have done to prove a point. And I think Auburn fans should be embracing that we're doing smart things now on the offensive side of the ball, as opposed to, well, they didn't throw for 300 yards, so we must not be that good. No, you take what the defense gives you. That's the first page of any offensive coordinator Bible. Take what the defense gives you. Mike Leach, 6'14".
How are you feeling? So Jake, you know, we rarely ask you for picks. This feels like an outsized one for Auburn this week, though.
I've already stepped out there, Jake. Yeah. I mean, of course, I was early last week. I was all Tennessee. By Friday, I changed my mind, but it was too late.
Yeah.
Right now, I think Auburn's got a real shot. I don't know. I've just got a feeling.
I mean, I think they have a chance. You know, as an Auburn fan, I would love to sit up here and say I got a great feeling Auburn's going to win. It's just, guys, defensively, until I see us be able to play man coverage well, consistently, and at work in a complementary fashion to what we're doing up front, it's hard for me to think we're going to go up to Oklahoma against what I think is probably the best quarterback in the country, my opinion, and be able to go win a four-quarter game against Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma wins it 27-20. That's what I've got. I would love to be wrong. But at the end of the day, they don't pay me to tell them what I hope think happens. They pay me to tell them what I think's going to happen. And I just don't know if Auburn running this man coverage the way they're doing it is going to work against an Oklahoma team with Deion Burks, Satania, and some guys that can hurt you.
Great stuff, as always, Jake. We really appreciate it. Let everybody know what you got coming up.
Yeah, well, we got a full Auburn-Oklahoma preview on our YouTube channel if you want to check it out. It's Crannon Company, C-R-A-I-N-N Company. We did our college football playoff projections as of week four. Auburn's almost, they win this week. I'm going to put them in, I promise you. And then tomorrow we're making our picks with Danny Cannell. So, yeah, come check us out.
Great stuff. Thanks, Jake. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. Y'all be good.
We need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Back to wrap things up here on the Tuesday Drive.
Walker here with the University.
888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final minute or so here of the Tuesday Drive. And our thanks to Jake Crane. Yeah, we're a little late because we had callers and then had Jake on. Oh, okay. yeah, great stuff from Jake as always. So our thanks to him for being on in hour number two. And, of course, Andy Burcham joining us, voice of the Tigers in hour number one. Hope you had a chance to hear that or any of the show. If you missed any, check out the podcast.
Podcasts of The Drive available courtesy of our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, go to ESPNAU.com, use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Should have our visit from Jason Caldwell from 24/7 tomorrow.
He should be with us in the studio at the outset, so we look forward to that. And if you didn't get a chance to join us today to get through, we hope to hear from you tomorrow. But that's going to wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of The Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.